105. And let's have a Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And roll call.
Forgive me if I pronounce anybody's name wrong. Gloria Alvarado?
Here.
Doug Maggione?
Here.
B. Felix?
Felicio.
Peter Lizio. Thank you. Sherry Lamb? And then Russia Shaw?
Yes.
Okay. Aircorn?
Public comments. At this time, members of the public may address the youth committee regarding any item within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken off agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair pre-identifies a specific time at the start of the meeting for all public speakers. We don't have that right now. So if anybody would like to make a public comment, now is the time. Seeing none, we can go right on to the informational items. Program updates. Are you, Nancy, is that what you do? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We have Maggie Lopez and her team. She's our team. Oh, I'll start.
Excuse me.
Oh. Thank you, please.
Where's the next slide? The chair had asked for kind of an overview of what the youth programs do to give this committee kind of an in-depth overview. So just in general, there's about 500,000 youth in Orange County, taking account for the 3.1 overall total population. The breakdown that we serve in the youth program is ages 14 to 24. So we've included kind of just an approximate breakdown. The trend we're seeing overall is a population decline over the next few years. So there's two kind of facets for the youth program for the committee to understand. We do in-school services and out-of-school services. So the in-school youth, approximately age 14 to 21, they're attending any school, any high school, college, vocational training. And we help them stay in school and transition to employment. So we really focus on dealing with their barriers and their challenges to stay engaged in school. And the out of school is age 16 to 24. That's for anyone that's not attending officially the school. And so those include anyone who's dropped out, who's unemployed, underemployed, or faced barriers, including homelessness, justice involvement, and other barriers. The out-of-school programs focus on work readiness, career training, and then adding supportive services to get them engaged. So there's 14 program elements, according to LEOA. So it's tutoring, study skills, alternative secondary school offerings, paid or unpaid work experiences, occupational skills training, concurrent education and workforce preparation, including soft skills, a post-secondary preparation and transition activities, leadership development, supportive services, adult mentoring, follow-up services, comprehensive career guidance and counseling, financial literacy education, and then even entrepreneurial skills. We also provide labor market.
Good question. Can these slides be shared?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Plus that.
Thank you. Overall, we just wanted to give you kind of a snapshot and understanding what the funding has been for the last 4 years or four program years. If you can see, it really fluctuates based on a good unemployment. So when unemployment is down, our funding goes down as well. How we have to allocate and spend the dollars. 75% of youth program funds must be spent on out-of-school activities, and then 20% must be spent on work experience and training activities. That's just kind of helpful to know, like, the overall. And that includes, like, programs that we contract with, vendors, training funds. And they'll get more into the specifics, but I just wanted to give you kind of a broad overview. So for this next program year, we have about $3.6 million that we're working with for youth.
Yes, the program year, the calendar year, or fiscal?
Fiscal, yeah. Good question. So the metrics that the state holds us to are really kind of encapsulated here. So we're looking at measuring the percentage of youth participants who are engaged in education and unsubsidized employment during the second quarter after they exit the program. So keeping that track is getting engaged and having the caseworkers do the follow-up. Also, there's a Q4 measurement that measures the percentage of youth participants who are engaged in education or training during the fourth quarter after they exit the program. So it's like a continuous follow-up measures. Median earnings, reporting the median earnings of all the youth participants who are in unsubsidized employment during the second quarter after they exit the program. Credential attainment. So this tracks the percentage of youth participants who earn a post-secondary, some kind of credential or diploma or equivalent during 1 year after their exit. And you'll see some of our numbers. I mean, no one wants to say COVID, but we're still seeing those effects in this last program year. It was kind of low in terms of the tracking for that credential. The last one is measurable skills gain. Evaluates the percentage of youth participants in education or training programs who document success towards credentials in the program. And that's kind of a general overview. Any questions on that? The Maggie's program staff are going to do a deep dive into the actual numbers for this class program.
Some of the family youth programs used to be in conjunction with cities and the county to be able to, you know, and rip up the numbers and continue supporting. Are we still doing that or not?
We don't run summer programs. We have our WACS program all year round.
But we don't combine it, so we can look for additional clients, perhaps.
We had a STEPS program, which was a program for particularly youth with disabilities that provided that WACS component. So it depends on what other programs are available. We have anything going, we try to ensure that before that program ends, we determine whether they're eligible and interested in co-enrolling into our regular year-round program for the same reason.
And I'm just talking because Santa Ana, for example, increased the numbers of summer youth program, and a lot of the same youth that attended those programs are some of them out of school youth.
Yeah.
And perhaps that could be potential clientele for the
yeah.
Our contractors, right? So maybe connecting them, maybe. I don't know how, but
no, that's
just ideas.
Yeah. So I think what happens is they're already enrolled in Title I programs under that workforce board. And so therefore, they're already being served.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's an additional opportunity. Do you guys all know that your youth program staff, or if you can do some introductions? Maggie's our senior youth programs manager, not just youth. She's over all the programs, adult and youth. So she's program managers over all your workforce programs.
And I'm Jacqueline. I am the exec specialist underneath Javier, and I do all the assistance in the back end.
My name is Daniel. I'm also the staff specialist under the youth program.
They're both your MIS administrators, so a little bit of bonus that you have an extra data. And you can answer it. Okay, so I guess I'll come on up and do your.
Yeah. Here we'll see that the portal contract allocation for last year was actually $2,416,000. In the left side, you will see the breakdown between out-of-school and in-school youth. The blue portion is actually the target that they had, so the amount that was in their contract, and the orange section is how much was actually spent. So for out-of-school, we saw that 90% of the expenditures were actually used up, And for in-school youth, it was 69%. Out of those expenditures, we see that out of the training expenditures for WECs and ITAs, for in-school youth, we used about $77,246. And for out-of-school youth, it was a combination of ITAs and WECs. So for WECs, it was $123,376 and some change. And then same thing for ITA, it was $401,667 with some change. In total, it was about $630,000.
And WECs is work experience, and ITA is individual training accounts, which everyone has a $10,000 cap.
Can I ask, what is the, in the training portion, what are the industries that we train? Like, what's the biggest industry that people are looking to get into?
We have a different slide later that shows you the different work experience opportunities that we offer, and it'll highlight that. So if you're okay with waiting.
How many students in total? How many youth?
So
sure.
In the next slide,
we're going to
launch.
Good questions. Good questions.
You're leading them. We should
probably wait. Yeah, we should wait
until the slideshow is over.
So this is what you guys really wanted.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you an overview for program performance. So in 2023-24, in-school youth, we had a contract goal of 140, and we hit 174 with an achieved percentage of 124%. For out-of-school youth, we had a contracted goal of 420, and we hit the actual 420, equaling out 100% on achieved percentage. We had a contracted total, sir, the 560, and our actual numbers were 594 with 106% in achieved percentage. For placement in second quarter, we had a contracted goal of 68%. The program hit 63.6 with an achieved percentage of 94%. And placement in the fourth quarter, we had a 65% contracted goal with an actual of 67.3, with adding up to an achieved percentage of 103.5%. For median earnings, the goal was $4,500. We had an actual of $5,111.32, equaling out to 113.6%. And for credential rate, we had a goal of 60%, which the program hit 23.2 with an achieved percentage of 38.7. And then finally, we had the in-program skills teams with a contracted goal of 55%, hitting 53.6 at an achieved percentage of 95.8%.
States aware, we just did our negotiations for performance for the next program or this program year, 24-25. And they were aware that we had a little bit of struggles with the credential. So they did negotiate down. So we have 50% as our target. Just so helpful for the next year. So, and they're going to provide technical assistance because maybe we're not coding or catching something correctly because they're engaged. And so where are we missing the capture? So they were
aware. Same issue.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Mine says 50%.
Yours is 50% too? Okay, you're welcome. I negotiated that rate. Any other kind of questions specifically?
Yeah, that was me. Credentially, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
credentially. What are we talking about?
So when it comes to grant credentials, it's tracked a year before, but during the program year while they're in 37OC, essentially when we do the out-of-school youth, we will try to get them to encourage to get them into the industry sectors, but getting them training and kind of a licensed credentials to work in a trade sector, whether it's health, Medicare, within those fields, and then kind of the way the credential rate is tied is that it ties with the credential that they earn within the program year, in addition to getting employed within that sector.
So you're talking about first day, what are we talking about?
So, credentials could be anything from a high school diploma associate's degree, nursing certificate.
Okay.
It could also be anybody in, what else is a popular one? The medical sector, so medical back office.
Yeah.
I think we've had a few IT certificate programs as well. So occupational skills training certificates as well as or licenses. Yes.
Thank you.
Where are these credentials coming from? Like who's giving them? The community college to high school or?
It's a combination. So some of them are coming, yes, from the high school diplomas. Others are coming from the colleges. Or vocational schools or community colleges. It really depends on what programs or youth are interested in enrolling in.
Just for additional information, the Workforce and Department of Rehabilitation, we're under that program's under federal regulation, so we have the same performance measurement.
It's hard.
Exactly the same. We have to meet the same.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of mutual funds.
Correct. Yes. A lot of co-enrollment in order to make it work. Yes.
Also, just this is the first time I'm looking at this. I'm really trying to understand. So 420 out of school youth, and the credential rate goal was 60%. So that'll be about 240-50 that you would hope to get. And then actual is 23%, so that'll be about 100. So 100 did. So there's 320 that didn't get the credential.
But
so,
maybe they were placed in a job, so
yeah,
they were kept somewhere
yeah,
else. So it's that like, oh well, but they finished, they got a job.
They got a job, they didn't need the credential. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's that whole kind of catch 22. Do we make them finish before we get a job? So that job.
And then the other thing is, those are how many we served this year. That doesn't necessarily mean they're counting as part of the performance, because for the performance, they're all exit based.
Yeah.
So they may not be exit, and not all 560 are counted there yet. This is participants that were exited prior year, which is the biggest thing. The only real time measure is a measurable skills gain at the bottom during program participation. Everything else is post post exit.
Because, like you said, it's 2 quarters after, 4 quarters after.
And they disappear.
Right.
Or they've got employment, which is a great thing too.
And they're not going to call you that.
Well, they're not going to finish.
They say they got a job. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And the earnings, that's monthly, right? 4,500.
The medium earnings is what they earn during second quarter. Second quarter. That's how that is based.
That's 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And are these most of the jobs are they getting? And I think maybe what he's getting at, are these full time or a lot of part time?
It varies because a lot of our youth are still either parents and they're taking care of families,
or
they may be going to school,
or they're still going to school.
A degree, correct? And so a lot of times they may be doing part time. Some of them that are a little bit older may be doing more than full time if they have the support and everything else. So it varies, yes.
Do they come from the high school? Do you go into the high school? How do you capture those?
We do all of it. You go into the schools. So we go out to the different community events. We partner with a lot of charter schools as well.
And we're working with Kathy Boyd's shop over at OCCAP, Department of Ed, to go into some of the alternative high schools and meet with their counselors, because they want to go on a different track sometimes than college. And so that's something we're working on for this next program year.
Oh, good.
In school, like I have a 14-year-old, so what are they learning? Is it all the same programs you mentioned? Just
the 14 program elements, correct. Yeah, so all 14 program elements are available to both in school and out of school. It really depends on what their goals are. They may not be interested in all of them, but we make them available to everybody, yeah.
Who do you connect with for the in-school youth at the campuses? Who are you connecting with there?
A lot of times with the counselors. With counselors, it depends sometimes with the liaisons when they have the different events, because a lot of times we're invited to the career fairs that they're having annually. And so that's our starting point. But then the counselors will reach out to us when they have those youth that are not attending. And that's where sometimes we have that smooth transition where they're gonna drop out, but may be a better option because we can connect them with a different program where they can do online until they can get back on their feet. And so.
And for the organization part, we start with the school district. So looking at Corn Mesa District, at Bay High School, with the counselors, getting everybody involved.
For the justice impacted youth, do you work with programs like Kinship, like Ground, Neutral Ground, and all of those?
We do. And we're also providing services at the facilities at both YLA and YGC.
Okay.
And then we do monthly presentations in person at Juvenile Hall to provide information about our programs that are familiar. We also have the probation officers connect with us when they have youth that are interested, that are close to being released, so that we can start doing some of the initial paperwork as well.
And the program is branded as Ready Set OC. I don't know if anybody knew that, because that way the turnover between different providers, if we go out for RFP, there's not a change in
money.
Right. So the Orange County Workforce Development Board's youth program is always Ready Set OC, regardless of who the provider is. You mentioned some of the providers. The current provider is the City of La Habra. Last we've had South
Africa, KRA.
Yeah. How many do we have actively currently? City of La Habra covers the whole county.
Oh. So what does provider mean in this context? Are they the ones that provide the train
service?
The drug service.
So like if it's school youth, it does youth could be in any school in the county.
Correct.
And La Habra, so how will they
serve? A ready set of students will go out and service in the school.
Oh, so they will drive out to the school and conduct a class and then go back.
Or they'll also come into the center.
Correct. We do both. So in some cases, we do go to schools when they have larger groups there and they could accommodate us. And other times, they actually come to our centers or to the affiliate location. And or we do virtual presentations as well. So
and they're not just based in La Habra. I think that's
it. No.
We always hear that over the years, you know, La Habra. It's not really... Don't equate it with the city, you know. And we used to have two or three providers before
right.
We split the counties up, and then that turned into somewhat insanity. But La Habra always had pretty decent numbers, as I remember.
So they're based out of our centers, Brea and La Miguel, and they also go with the mobile bus when it's appropriate. So called Ready Set OC. We won't even say
La Habra.
Yeah,
because it always was confusing.
Yeah.
So yes, as Nancy mentioned, we did have the recent final negotiated performance goals, so EDD. These happen every 2 years. So these are going to be the performance goals that we're going to be looking at for program year 24 and 25. So in the blue square, we have the youth-specific performance goals. For employment rate second quarter after exit, we're looking at 64%. For employment rate fourth quarter after exit, we're looking at 64% as well. For median earnings second quarter after exit, we're looking at 45%. And then for credential attainment, we're looking at 50%. And finally, for measurable skills gains, we're looking at 52% for those 2 years.
Yeah, we're pretty confident that those are attainable. Yes.
One question about the MSG. So is this like when the City of La Habra is training, they have these quizzes throughout the whole program and the scores are going up? How is that calculated?
So when Ready Set OC does the measurable skills gains,
so we have an assessment testing that they do with the youth. So it could be that they initially test them to see what level they test at using the COSAS testing. And then 6 months from now, because they're providing them tutoring, they're doing things at school. So their goal is to try to help them increase that level. And so they would do a post-test. That's the way we measure that. In other cases, if they're going to college and they're taking full units, we can use their report cards to show the progress there as well. So there's different things that we can use to show that. Those are the more common ones. Sometimes when they're completing a training program, vocational training, and that's an achievement that they completed the 3 month course and the school gives them a letter of completion or a certificate saying that measure has been achieved. And so those are the kind of things that are counted.
What was the COSAS? What was the
COSAS is an assessment testing that tests their reading, math, and comprehension.
How's it spelled?
COSAS?
C-A-C-A.
C-A-C-A-S-A. Sorry.
Yes.
COSAS, yeah. Comprehensive assessment. Yeah, I'll have to look it up for you. We normally always abbreviate.
It's when the high schools also use. Correct.
Yes. So for youth, they normally use that, and then for adults, especially use the tape testing. So, but that's typically what we use for that.
Yeah, we're not all familiar with an acronym.
So right.
In our organization, we have myriad acronyms, and we so easily use them, and we realize when we're talking to new people and looking at it's like. We give new member orientation, and like, what? I'm like, what? I'm over here, and they're like, oh, what? You know, you do, we do every once in a while have to remind ourselves, you know, what the hell are these things?
We'll get
you
the name of it.
Yeah.
That's one that I have to look it up.
Any other questions?
Would you, and I don't know if you do, but do you have the opportunity to graduate them from the program to do events while they graduated from the high school or maybe a college degree that we could perhaps participate in so that we have the opportunity? Oh, okay. Next slide.
You are anticipating this PowerPoint slide. Very good. Very good.
They are so ready.
Yeah. You have a question and there's a slide right after.
And so this is a perfect example of one of the events that we hosted over the summer. So we had the opportunity to partner with the Investment Corp, who offered financial literacy program for the youth. And so they did 5 weeks where the youth volunteered their time to come in 2 days a week and learn about anything from stocks, investing, macroeconomics, taxation, banking, budgeting, a little bit of everything. And so they actually got to try and purchase bonds. It was really cool, very interactive. And so at the end of the program, we did a program graduation for them on site. And so that is at our center in Brea.
We did invite Doug, but the scheduling didn't work out. So
in the future, we will invite everybody. But that was a perfect example of an event that we had. The picture at the bottom, not only did we have a graduation ceremony for them here on site, but they had a big graduation ceremony for all the different programs that participated in LA. And Faith, one of our youth, actually got a scholarship for $500 for doing so good. And so she not only scored 100% on her midterm, but also on her final exam. And then that she did it with only other two people from the whole program since they started to achieve that goal. Yeah. So really, really neat stuff.
The question.
Yes.
This is a really cool program. And it reminded me that in fourth grade, my younger son, his teacher also put in something like this. So he was a fourth grader buying stocks.
That's so neat.
Is this one of the summer programs?
This was a summer program. It's the first time we do it. We also have a financial literacy series that the banks do for us. We work with US Bank, and they come in and do it either virtually or in person. But they don't do that, stocks and stuff. This is the first program that actually does it. Yeah, so we'll keep banking 101. So they did tell us next summer, hopefully, we will be able to open that again. But again, we'd also do basic financial literacy through our banks.
And the kids were talking about retirement. I was like,
they were planning for retirement.
And so they really were comprehensive.
In response to the high debt with youth and what they incur. I read something that they're going to implement in all the high schools, of course. It's required.
They should.
For youth to bring it back. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
In the conference, the education conference that we had with the state, we all said our youth are not learning
financial
literacy. They don't know how to make a check anymore.
Oh, yeah. And so that's exactly what they were doing. They had him write out a check and make sure that they did it correctly. They purchased a donut with that check. Yeah, so it made it really interactive where the youth could really relate. The instructor was
today, like our members, we had to go to, we used to years ago be, you know, pay by check or come in with cash. Now we do every, they're all on their phone. I mean, we'd have people look at us like, I don't have a, I have to go get a money order. We had to get into so many different ways. I mean, my grandson, I was trying to sell something and he goes, oh, I'll put it on here. And then they'll just Venmo this to me.
And the money will just appear.
Take care of it. Yeah. It's like fake money. We have it's fake money.
Yeah.
Fake money.
Can I ask you another question?
Yes.
How many people were reached and how much time they spent coming into the center?
So it was 5 weeks. They were here for an hour and a half, 2 days a week, sometimes sessions. It was a smaller group. Of course, it was during the summer, right in the middle of the day. But they did really good. We started with 19. One of them dropped off because he got a job and he couldn't come anymore. But 18 completed the program.
And the, let's see, Congresswoman Steele.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody came. Wagner's.
That's good representation.
And Rob represented the board. And some of the kids were like, oh, I've never had like a graduation ceremony.
Wow.
So that's really meaningful. That's where I was going with when us being invited. 100%. I'll invite the whole committee next time as soon as this year. I can do that.
Because one of the things, especially if you go to alternative education, and for especially for the justice impacted, it sometimes it seems very cold. Like, oh, congratulations, here's your certificate.
Yeah.
And so they yet another thing that they don't experience. You know, if you are in a regular program, you have a whole year of activities as you're graduating, but the youth that are experiencing challenges don't get to celebrate.
We had a party, we had gift bags, they get all these certificates. It's beautiful.
Ceremonies are beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if the committee could attend one of those,
absolutely,
we could have dialogue conversation with them and make some network connections for opportunities in some of our fields that they represent. So that would be really good too.
That's fine. This is also an annual thing. Doug, you weren't available, but I'll invite the whole committee next time. But just so you know, we did reach out to the committee, but I'll make sure to invite the whole committee.
So twice a year, we partner with, well, we work with them year round, but twice a year, California Job Challenge has big cohorts coming in, and we are co-case managing. We provide services at their site because the youth are there for 6 months. And so during that time, they're achieving same thing. Some of them high school diploma, others are going to the community colleges and working on construction, welding training. Others are going into nursing. And then at the same time, we're coming in, our case managers are providing soft skills training, resume preparation, financial literacy for them. The end of that time, a lot of them are leaving with their high school diploma, additional CTE certificate, and or a nursing certificate as well. And then from there, they also make a big push. So we help prepare them for the ASVAB test. So we pay for tutoring for those that are interested. And at that end of the 6 months, they have an annual or a graduation for that group where their families get to come and they get to see everything that they've accomplished. We have a few of them do like success stories and you really hear like the rough backgrounds that they come with. So for them to make those major accomplishments.
Is this part of the Sunburst?
Yeah. It's not Sunburst.
It's like
a graduate. So Sunburst is the first session. This is where they would go next if they want to continue.
With the movie trades with Sunburst. I've been to a couple of their graduations
Years
back. Now, I think our next school is our board member. Used to go quite a bit, but it's a great program.
And then a number of them enter the military.
The military, So they prepare for the military, those that already have high school diplomas, and right there they announce who's already signed off and they get on there. It's really neat. It's major.
These are really, you know, troubled youth, and it's a total discipline setup. They live in the barracks, and when we were watching them, when they go from class to class, they line up, and it's like being in the military. They're very disciplined, and a lot of the kids react to it and like it. Yeah, one of the trades guys' nephew was in it, and
construction, welding, efficient. And then right now they just added a new component for security guards, but then we do the nursing program for them too. So
a lot of those are
from our program.
It's some fine competitive infrastructure.
That's the word. Yeah.
Where do I go? Yeah. Tell me where to go. Yeah. So I will make sure to invite the entire committee. That's why Maggie and I have gone for the last 2 years. That's quite an emotional and beautiful kind of ceremony. That's, you know, the face to all the policies you're passing and the work that you're doing. So
I think these in-person things are really valuable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so now they host their graduations because they're getting bigger at Longview City College. In the past, they used to host them there at their facility, but now, because they invite families and their cohorts are so big, that they're doing them there. So we will definitely let you know. We just had a new cohort start. So next slide. And now here is information on our work experience sites and opportunities that we have. Next slide, sorry. And so we have, it's really small, I know, I'm sorry, but approximately 50 different work sites with a lot of different opportunities for the youth to select, youth and adults as well, of course, but the different things that they may want to do. And so they have the opportunity to go into WETS for 12 weeks, typically anywhere from 15 to 30 hours a week, depending on what their availability is. They're getting paid at $17 an hour. And so again, based off what they're interested in doing, we provide them the list and the case manager will sit down with them and identify what may be the best position for them. But we have a little bit of everything. We have, for example, City of La Habra, they can be a teacher assistant if they're interested in education. We have the Friendly Center that provides quite a few different opportunities, customer experience, customer service representative, information and referral specialist. We also have some IT ones there.
Dog walker, like if someone wants to
be. Yeah, it really depends on what they use and looking for. Can you this one has the rest of them, but on here you can see prep cook, grant writer, so graphic design. So there's a little bit of everything available for them depending on what it is that those youth want to do. Some of the top cities that have more opportunities are Fullerton. We have 9 WECS opportunities there. Orange, 9. La Habra, 6. And San Clemente, 6 as well. And so they vary. We have them countywide. And so if there's an opportunity that a youth is interested in doing and it doesn't meet it, that's how we keep adding to the list. Yes.
How are these sites identified?
Our business services team, when they're doing the outreach for the businesses, for the small businesses, they'll reach out and they'll kind of talk about our breadth of services, OJTs, work experience. So work experience is not like a service that we're providing as free labor for them. They're really doing us a favor because they're taking on the youth to give them some training. So it is some work involved on the employer's part. There's a wealth of employers that are interested in kind of hosting that.
It's paid by
we owe
dollars. These are your training dollars. We pay the participants an hourly wage. And so here is a list with the different industry sector opportunities that we have, which is I think what we were looking for, Doug.
Yeah.
So there you go. Approximately about 70. The highest ones seem to be administrative, food industry, education, and then art. And then it just goes down a little from there. So
this is what in school, out school,
both.
So any trying to, this is really, it sounds really good, but there are, is this like for non-technical only? Because or it can be for anything. Does we always say that
it could be for anyone that's willing to host it? So if you know, if it's a highly skilled technical job, it might not be a good work experience for a beginning entry-level kind of high school student to get. And so it varies on the businesses that are willing to host us. But
it's the business side, but from the kids' side, you know, there's a lot of kids who want to go into all these areas.
Yeah.
And it seems like a very good program.
Yeah, that's as long as they're eligible for the program itself, they still have to qualify for the youth program, then we can absolutely find things that are.
And qualifying for the youth program in school youth, what are those criteria?
For in school youth, you have to be between the ages of 14 to 21, you have to be attending school. For in school youth, you have to be low income, and then you have to have a barrier. So it could be anywhere from youth with disability. It could be justice involved. It could be a parenting youth. They could be homeless, foster, or emancipated youth. For out of school, the age range is 16 to 24. They have to be completely out of school at time of enrollment and then have any of those same barriers or basic skills deficient. Anybody that's below an 8th grade level. English language learner. Those are most of the basic ones.
Yeah, I remember we came when I first got involved in this, we brought our apprenticeship, and the biggest thing, a lot of the kids didn't have high school diplomas, and one of the requirements is a high school diploma. So, our suggestion was, the first thing you need to do is get them a high school diploma. But there is a lot of, these are some of the more at risk population, So it is a difficult program, but it's well worth it, because, we're either going to train kids now and get them productive, or we're going to house them in prison. And these are very worthwhile. I got to ask a question. We're hearing, dealing with the state, dealing with the county. There's a lot of vacancies at the state level, and I've heard the county level. Are there positions available, like paid assistants or interns, but paid? I don't believe intern free work, but does that go on? Because we're hearing in the state 50% vacancy rates in some.
With Orange County, we do have the county itself. Our division is a WEX work experience site, and so we host participants. Also, the human resources has started. It's kind of a career academy where they're looking at clerical and labor. So two kind of tracks for high school students to just get into the county in a much shorter route than it would be to go through the typical government hiring process. So one is to be a clerical kind of assistant in the HR or any of the administrative kind of units. And the other is a land laborer at the landfills and working to see what that track is. So that's a new program that came out this year. So we're kind of trying to see how we can engage with that. So we did a lot of outreach for them. It was a short turnaround this year from the time they got it approved to the time they had to start. So next year, we're hoping to be more involved in that.
And the recycling,
looking for workers.
There's always there's always a gap, and they're always saying, do you have anybody? Have them apply.
And they're moving to that smart landfill. Right. We want to
exactly.
That's a language conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's in another slide. I'm not sure, but
that was last slide.
Do you have success stories of students that you have tracked down the road a year or two, and where they're at today and what they're doing?
We do. We have staff that have come through the work experience program and have promoted and been brought on as staff specialists and been promoted within our own agency so that we can speak to them too.
Yeah, that would be nice to see.
Yeah.
We will definitely structure.
So in the full board meetings, we like to bring you just a snippet, but this is really more deep dive is what the committees are for. And that's when you kind of choose which areas you want to really hear all the
and anything that they want to train for. The goal is to have an upwardly mobile track that they're involved in. Nobody wants to train for a dead end job that's just going to stay there.
Yeah.
One of the questions when we used to get support services for our apprentices, the biggest question they ask, do they get raises? How do they get raises? How do they progress up? I mean, those were the first questions they asked us.
Right.
I said, we work them up. They're eventually going to be a journeyman.
Yeah.
But they're always cognizant of, I don't want to just get you a job that you're stuck. So it's always an upwardly mobile track.
I've been in Orange County for over 30 years, and I've never heard of this program.
Yeah.
So this is wonderful. Yeah. So congratulations to all of you. Thank you for sharing this. I had no idea. I mean,
being on the board,
we've been on the board and over the years, and there's just with the changes, nobody knows really what is going on.
It's really your chair who asked to kind of do the overview.
Education.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great work.
And
from
thank
someone
you.
That
this
has been involved, congratulations on the numbers. Because we saw how difficult it was to go through the COVID, right? We didn't need numbers. We weren't there. Just so you know,
the team has done an amazing job recuperating after after COVID.
So kudos.
Thank
you. Just so you know, Maggie has been with kind of programs for over 10 years. So really have some historical context there. Okay. Next.
Thank you for putting this together.
Second item would be service location update from Francis.
So our youth program is an humane facility. So we have our main facility in the city of Brea, where they have a whole suite, which is pretty amazing. I'm sure if you had a chance to actually see it, but they have a great suite there. And then the second one's in the Laguna Niguel, which is our location. That's more of a shared space, but yeah, they have a pretty strong presence there. We're coming up on 30 locations that we go out to with our mobile unit now. So that's out almost 5 days a week, 4 to 5 days a week. We do put youth case managers on the locations where there's a large youth population. So we're really trying to outreach to the community that way. And honestly, it's been a great tool. It's probably one of the best things that we've done in the last few years to expand our reach and really take our programming out into the communities. And we partnered we started off with just the county libraries, but now we've expanded to a lot of community centers, underneath day school, facilities like that, where we're going out to where basically our potential clients are going to be. In addition to that, Maggie, we mentioned too, we've got some programming in probation sites, the Youth Leadership Academy and the Youth Guidance Center. That's where we go out and we do a 12-week career exploration program for the participants. It really connects them to our programming. So hopefully when they leave the probation site, they've kind of got that lifeline to workforce support.
Thanks. Upcoming events, Maggie, do you have any youth events coming up?
We just had Disney come out yesterday to do an interview techniques workshop for our youth. And then next week on Wednesday, we're going to start our 5-week financial literacy series with US Bank as well. So
there's also with our partners in Anaheim, it's not our event, but DLR is having an event in Anaheim. September 20. Successes and challenges were included on the slide. That concludes your program updates, Chair.
Yeah, I have a question about the service location update. So there are 30 different locations the mobile units are going out.
Approximately, not quite 30 yet. We're coming up on 30. So yeah, it's a bit of a process, right? Because we've got have to vet the location, we have to make sure they meet our requirements, we have to make sure that their programming aligns with our programming. We don't want to just kind of show up in a grocery store parking lot, something like that, right? So there's a bit of a process there to establish a location as a service location. So yeah, we're coming up on 30 established locations. We try to get out to every location at least once a month. Some are a little bit more frequent, more busy locations, some are less frequent. Some of these locations are very seasonal. In traffic. So we try to be very strategic with where we go with it. It's just one vehicle, it can only be one place at a time.
Oh, there's only one vehicle. That is maybe my next question.
Yeah, so I wish this was tomorrow because we've actually had it on site. So you could actually see that. But it's a 33-foot converted Winnebago. So it's basically like a computer lab on wheels. So it's loaded, it's got 12 workstations on it, it's got high speed internet, that look printer, it's got a couple displays for presentations for teachers, it has a bunch of tables and chairs so you can set up outside the vehicle as well. It's fully AC, got a nice power generator on it, so even during this heat these last couple of weeks, it was a nice 70 degrees inside the vehicle. It's great. Basically, we can provide 95% of the services that we provide in our workforce solution centers out of that unit. We can do skill assessment testing, have case manager on board, we provide case management services, we can enroll participants, we can serve participants who are already being served, help with job search and resume building. All our services we offer.
And is the signage on Ready OC on?
It is, yeah. And it's not just Ready Set OC. So it's also shared by our adult dislocated worker programming also. So like kind of depending on the site, depends on how we how we staff it. So it's a site where it's predominantly adults. We're probably not going to bring a youth case manager on the bus for that site. But it's a site where there is a lot of youth lab youth case managers.
Well, there is.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So we try to have a recurring schedule. So if we're in a location like the first Friday of the month, we're trying to be at the same location so that way our customers know that there is a calendar. Just scroll down a little bit.
That's right. Really cool at the job fair.
Yeah.
You can see like there's a calendar, so you can see where we are. You can book an appointment if you want to book an appointment. We take walk-ins. The calendar's booked like six months out of advance.
There's a long waiting now.
Yeah.
I think it's highly utilized.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, tomorrow is a rare day that it's actually going to be staying in the office, yeah. But it's not actually going out. We're out 5 days a week pretty regularly.
Is this a new program or has it been there for many years?
So this is something which the county was gracious with, and when the county received some CARES funding, they allowed us to purchase this vehicle with CARES funding because it really did reduce barriers. I mean, everyone was kind of staying at home, centers were closed, people were scared to go to centers, so this led us to kind of drive the community. So we were able to procure it with CARES Act.
I think there's only three or four.
In California.
Wow. And you also have
the transfer meeting in it? We take the assessments, yeah. We keep a couple on that.
How is that being used or perceived or results?
The youth love it.
Yeah, it's a great like engagement tool. Right. So it's for career exploration quite well. Right. So they can kind of go and say, like, hey, what's it like to work in a factory? What's it like to work in a medical situation? Right. Because, you know, we probably think we've got the stomach for it before we experience someone bleeding. Right. And so it does actually, yeah, there are simulations which expose them to that. So it's a good exploration. We do have an RFP that we're going to be releasing. Towards the end of this calendar year, we're going to be looking to hopefully procure a more complete VR programming where it's not just simulations and exploration, but it's actually tied to credentialing or tied to college credit. So something a little bit more tangible. But it's a good tool to connect, right? It kind of brings people in. It's fun. Kind of just like the bus, right? Like when that's the parking lot, you're kind of curious, like big strong signage, let's go see what's over there.
The picture over there.
And the key there has no charge.
That's the VR that can see.
Yeah, so yeah, we have like a display that goes, kind of shows our services. It's not just VR. I mean, we show all our services that we offer.
Yeah. That is something special for the airport here.
Who's driving the bus?
Renee, not our. My boss Renee. We have a driver Renee.
Yeah, he's great. We have a full-time staff who drives gas triage clients when they come on, helps answer questions. He's great.
Is there a need for a second unit?
Yes. Well, is there a need? No. Oh, is there a demand? Yes. Yeah, it's a demand for a second unit.
We still need to look at kind of the metrics of it because it was kind of, and we'll bring that to you once we have it because we don't have those solid numbers yet. And like, when it goes to a site, how many people are actually seeing, how many walk-ins, like what's the drink?
To justify
if we do need a second vehicle. So that'll be
getting back to your question about the job fair, September 26th.
Okay, that's your upcoming event.
Yeah, it's a job fair with City of
Anaheim Workforce Board.
Yeah. It's going to locate on Brookhurst Community Center, 10 to 1.
Yeah,
so thank you. I'll call you.
Sure.
That's it for item 5, Chair.
Labor market information, industry updates. Who's going to be presenting that?
Okay, yeah. So you had asked for just kind of like over a general overview of industries and operations. And so the top 5 industries we're still seeing are healthcare and social assistance, accommodation and food services, government, and then technical IT and manufacturing. So that still kind of holds true to our 4 priority sectors as well. The 5 largest occupations that we're seeing being filled are office and administrative support, sales-related positions, food preparation and serving, management, and business and financial operations. That's all that I have for your general labor market. A deeper dive is done in the Business Services Committee.
Yeah.
That's it for item six, Chair.
Special initiatives.
That's something that we wanted to kind of bring to you, kind of leads into open discussion. Is there anything that the committee would like to see focused? I know Gloria had a great idea of like looking more at credentials, but what can they take with them after the program? So really open floor to you, Chair.
Anybody have any suggestions?
So I just want to share this and see if there are ideas. So we are part of a $4 million Department of Labor contract.
Mm-hmm.
That went to American Society of Mechanical Engineers, and there they have goals to place 270 people over 4 years. And this is for people who have finished community colleges, but they didn't land a job. So there's going to be a new bridge program that's going to be created. So my company is part of it from a VR side of it. Stevens Institute of Technology over in New York is part of it. And it's basically going to be online education for 144 hours of related technical instruction, plus 2,000 hours of OJT. And they're looking for, and it'll be all paid and all that. So it's they're looking for advanced manufacturing, you know, a type of employers where this 2,000 hours of OJT can be done. And I didn't tell them that I was going to talk about it here, but I just wanted to share. And if there are any connections with employers or the workforce board, I'm happy to make a connection. But my goal is to, this is one of 50 such contracts. This is the American ABA, and I can't remember the expansion. ABA is a DOL program. This is the second year they're doing it, and they'll do it again. So I would love for our county to be part of it.
Is this a nationwide thing, and then the counties have to capture it somehow? How does that happen? Yeah, we have a lot of advanced, and we've got all kinds of biomedical, and we've got electric vehicles here, solar, renewables. We're the center of almost the...
I think you would just need to link the businesses to our business services to see if there was a need and a match. So for OJT, just for the process, they have to be enrolled within WIOA for us to fund the on-the-job training. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they could bring like an outside candidate that was eligible for our program.
But you think that there will be people who have finished community college, because that's one of their requirements.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
They didn't land a job and they qualify for the OJT.
Absolutely.
Well, Nancy, could this be something like the overall board through a one-stop? People come in, you know, it's not the youth program, which is a little more difficult. It could be offered at any of the job.
Dislocated
workers. They got degrees. They, you know, that would be something that could be facilitated through one stops.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what the credentialing matches, because, you know, community college is one thing that it's available for everybody to go, but really people don't understand what that entails. You have to concentrate, you have to do this, you have to do that. A lot of the things that we have seen lately is the need for childcare. We're talking about those parents, right? So childcare careers that have not only the CPR, but the safety and all of that in mind. And a lot of our youth don't know, and I didn't know this, that, you know, with 10 college units in child development, you could actually work in a child care center.
So we already, we just engaged with California First Five. So I've been kind of connecting them with one of our community college partners to see how we can help the credentialing process with asynchronous classes. So there's a lot of behind the scenes going on.
And I think we're having the same conversations in other units, but the big thing that came out was that the childcare, how there's a need, but there's also ways for us to help land a job if we're able to do the training. But the Ocean 9 is a requirement for any of the trades.
Ocean 10.
Oh, that's 10. One number.
You got to give us one more number.
Because what I've seen, and people call us, when they're wanting to go into an apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
I was invited. What are the requirements? I'm like, oh, hold on. And then let me look them up. But one of the biggest things is the Ocean 9. And then the student, Ocean 10.
Ocean 9. 10 hours.
Ocean 10.
Okay.
And a lot of the clients have to pay for it.
Okay.
And that's the challenge. They don't have the money to pay for it.
It's only, how much is it? $450?
It's not that expensive. It's like
we offer it, you know.
You offer
we offer it to like our apprentices all learn it. We just did, we have a unit at the airport. We just did an OSHA 30, which is 30 hours for our members there. They handle the baggage conveyors and stuff like this. So we did an OSHA safety for them. But in our, we don't charge for it. We offer it to our apprentices, you know, and our journeymen sometimes that need those certifications. I don't know what they would charge for the class, like a CPR class.
We cannot capture it as a credential for real life. But yes, and we do pay for it for someone who's going into those fields.
Into the trade. The other big thing is that OSHA just hire a lot of community liaisons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to work, especially in the job fairs, they're willing to work together to go through their program. So I think maybe we need to invite them.
Yeah, sure.
Because if there's they probably have grants already or money to pay for it, but we're not connecting the dots. And I think that would be great. And the other big thing that came out was the food safety.
Safety.
And so a lot of the people were like, oh, I didn't get the job at Pollo Loco because I didn't have that training.
Oh, it's a special credential.
It's a special how to handle.
So
that's two levels.
If you're enrolled in our program,
they took it.
Pay for it. So it wouldn't count towards our credential thing.
Very.
But it's anything that can support them. So even like drug screenings, background training, fingerprinting, anything that they need to complete in order to obtain or sustain a job is something that we can pay for.
Send us the info so that when we.
They have to be volunteers. Yeah.
Right. They have to be. But you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
people don't know that if they enroll in this program, they continue, they won't have the service. I didn't know. So I couldn't speak about it. And I was like, hold on. Let me double check. So those are some of the ideas that perhaps the world doesn't know and that they need to hear it.
So that's not something that we come out the gate with, like, supporters. And so it's more they're enrolled and we do anything that they need to get or sustain a job. But in terms of outreach for the committee, absolutely share that. And we'll send you kind of like an enrollment flyer.
Yes.
But it's not like our lead.
We used to get a lot of support services for our apprentices. We had enrollment, we would send them down. Maybe get tools bought, boots, you know.
There's a whole,
it has to be their first job. It has to be, there's requirements. One of the issues with WAYOA is there's a lot of federal requirements that they have to live with, you know. So, you know, everything we think is simple is not simple with WAYOA.
One of the great things about WAYOA, when we switched from WIA
to WAYOA,
is they took away the sequential requirements of support services.
Yeah.
So we're able to pay for it prior to them getting the job now, whereas in WIA, they had to first be employed.
Their first job.
So that's a nice change.
And I've been following up on the comments about OSHA 10 and serve safe and so on. I mean, there's the cost. And then there's this somewhat archaic thing that you have to spend 10 hours in. Why is it 10 hours? The new thing in training is competency-based. Like if you can show that you learn it in 5 hours, you're done. It's not like you have to sit there for 10 hours.
Yeah.
Since I work in tech, you know, that's what we do, a lot of R&D on the organizations. And I just found the name of this program that UNL funded. It's called Apprenticeships Building America, ABA. So it's a perfect program. And I would love to find a way through the board to get more Orange County organizations involved in that. You know, it's all these billions of dollars. Apprenticeships Building America, ABA.
This is funded by Tom
Brady. Yeah. It's a $4 million grant, and that's one of 50 such grants. So overall, it's like 250 mil. And just one of them. So what I'm thinking is, We could use technology to build digital versions of these SurfSafe and OSHA 10 and OSHA 30, and now people don't have to worry about accessing.
Yeah, they can do. A lot of people, even our apprenticeships, going online based because we run out of room in the school. But yeah, you work at your own pace. Some people would take 20 hours. Some people would do 5 hours. Why the OSHA 10? In a classroom, it's so many modules that it's controlled by OSHA. So in order to get the OSHA certificate, you have to prove to them you did all of their modules. And when you're doing it in a classroom setting, it, like, our instructors get through it pretty quick, but it's a lot. You know, it's like when we did it at the airport, it was, I think, two or three different, I think they did 2 5-hour things, and that was a lot. You know, but sometimes you can break it down into 3-hour groups, and but it's the modules are really based on what OSHA requires. You know,
the youth love it. And
yeah, online.
VR, if you can really do it, and now there's AI in there too. So
yeah.
I think we should.
Oh, I like it.
I think we're going to see more and more of. Yeah. We're doing it at our apprenticeship. More and more of that training.
And I think the more we ask for it, especially we push OSHA to do it, the more we request it, the more we push, the easier it's going to be. The other big thing that I know is a challenge is our undocumented youth that do not qualify for summer program. When the DACA program was alive, we were able to find, we, the Federation, alongside with all my locals, we're able to find grants to pay for the renewal and the application. I don't know if there's a group going on right now, but with the new Keeping Families Together program that the White has just approved, some of those DACA students can now apply for a work visa.
Yeah.
And so that will give them a bigger stand. One of the things that we're gonna be doing, we did a workshop on information only, but we're going to have a workshop to complete those applications. So I will definitely like to join forces. Maybe you can advertise it because I know there's DACA youth that could benefit now. And I know I'm getting a lot of sectors calling in because there's nurses and, they put the DACA on everything. So they put DACA nurses, DACA teachers, people that are working with a work permit through that program that could now benefit from a work visa. And so the applications are going to be there. The requirements are going to be there. We're drafting right now the flyer with all the requirements and some of the history behind. But if you're interested, we'll send it to you and that way we can partner and have that. Because the informational workshop that we had about 150 people and we did it within 2 weeks. And it was just to say, this just came through. Now that the paperwork is on, we need to take advantage of it. We need to show that there is care. So we'll invite you.
Maggie is the name of the training program.
So CASA stands for Comprehensive Adult Student Assessment System.
That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah. Everyone's like, okay.
The abbreviation's better.
Yeah.
That's all we have for item 7, Chair.
Any open discussions that we've had? Quite a robust open discussion here. And on the apprenticeship thing, this is when we were talking earlier with Nancy, everyone, apprenticeship is a sexy word now. And there's, a lot of industries that want to kind of capture money for this. And it comes from $250 million and $300 million being thrown at it. So anyone with a training program wants to say they're an apprenticeship. But we just had one of the meetings at our apprenticeship. It is kind of a unique, it's a unique thing. In our industry, in construction, we've been doing it for 100 years. We're one of the only industries where our contractors, our signatory employers, us, the workers, all contribute money into a third, party that's our apprenticeship. It's a whole separate entity. And while they're in the school that we're funding, they're also, we have access to the employment with our contractors. Now, can other industries do this? Absolutely. But it really takes, healthcare could do it easily. Teaching could do it easily. Hospitality can do it easily. If some way the employers get associated with the working groups and start funding it. So
different from OJT.
Yeah, different from OJT, where a lot of industries, if you're a teacher, you're relying on the colleges to train you, then you go get a job. Your industry, mechanical engineer, you get your degree, you go get a job. Healthcare, well, where's your degree? You go get a job. The county and the state, where you have a degree, you go get a job. And there could be hybrids of that, to your point, where you get a small amount of training. Maybe you don't need the actual degree or credential, but you get in the industry and you do a works program. You know, I think that's coming. I think the state is recognizing that our system has worked for our industry. We train our future, and we've been doing it for 100 years. And I think other industries can replicate that, but boy, it's going to take a lot of effort on a lot of people's parts to make it happen, but it should happen.
So the biggest industry where this is happening is semiconductor, because of the $55 billion Chips Act,
right,
which is reshoring all the fabs.
Yeah.
I'm very deeply involved in that. I was in the White House just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so just the workforce portion of that is north of $1 billion. So that makes this 250 bill look like
Wow. Oh, yeah.
So we can talk more about that. And you're absolutely right. They're all looking at programs like the ones you're part of, the 100-year programs. And there's a lot to learn.
And how it works. And I think they're realizing, geez, that we have time to wait for all these folks to go through four-year colleges and do a thing. And then, no, we don't have time. And I think a lot of industries are realizing, to your point, OSHA 10, we can train this, and maybe we train it quicker, you know, get a basic rudimentary understanding of items, maybe 2 years of college, but then you immerse yourself in the industry. You know, the Europeans have been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, we have a German colleague that he's retired now, but he talks about
they've done this every meeting. They've done this for years, because in Europe, you know, our unions, the ideas of unions, workers coming together, I mean, that goes back to guilds, you know, it goes back to the Middle Ages. So the Europeans have a strong history of this concept. You know, in America, it's just the unions that have that concept. You know, in Europe, everybody has that concept. So it came down to the high school. Arnold Schwarzenegger talked about it. He was in a sales, you know, that was his discipline, you know. And he did a pretty good job. He sold himself, you know. But we do need to replicate that here. Maybe with $1 million, that industry could be the impetus of really fast starting this. And there's a big need in America to do it. We shouldn't rely on what we've done in the past. I agree totally. Good to hear.
Yeah.
I think I'll move to adjourn. Gloria, you want to make a motion?
Yeah.
I'll make the motion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. It's very good PowerPoint. I appreciate the education.
Yeah.